welcome to The Logstat, the Army's premier podcast on all things sustainment, where we analyze new developments, discuss current trends, and forge the path ahead for the next generation of sustainment soldiers. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Logstat. I'm your host, Captain Garrett Pyle. For those who have deployed, have you ever wondered how some of the support made it out the theater? Maybe it was a laundry service or food service. How did they get there? Who is managing them? Yes, I'm talking about contracts. Now, I know the word can scare some people, depending on your experience with them. Maybe you completed the operational contract support course and have the 3 Charlie ASI. But no matter your experience, good, bad, or indifferent, contracts are all around us. So today, we're going to discuss the updated doctrine that governs these contracts and units that are responsible for them, which is ATP 4-71, Contracting Support Brigade, which was updated on the 3rd of October, 2024. You might be asking yourself, well, contracts were important during coin operation, but there's no way they'll be involved with large-scale combat operations. Let me highlight a key reason why contracts, even during LISCO, are important. And this is taken directly from the ATP 4-71 in the introduction. With a smaller army, less robust active component sustainment capability, and greater emphasis on army competition and joint operations, the critical importance of operational contract support, OCS, and its associated operational contracting structure may increase as a necessary force enabling capability in future operations. This publication is intended to provide commanders and their staffs with doctrine and policy tools necessary to leverage the full spectrum of Army OCS capabilities during competition, crisis, and armed conflict. The publication also serves as a guide for worldwide deployment and employment of Army operational contracting organizational capabilities. So, I just gave you one of the key reasons why this is so important for leaders to understand contracts. To help us better comprehend not only why, but how these organizations operate, I have with me today two gentlemen that oversaw the entire update of the publication and have a complete understanding of this program, Mr. Jethro Mann and Mr. Keith Beverly. Mr. Jethro Mann serves as Director for the Force Modernization Proponent Directorate under the Office of the Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Army for Procurement, ODASIP. He is a highly experienced multifunctional logistician with over 40 years of combined military, contractor, and government civil service experience, including 21 years of military service. He began his career in 1974 as an Air Force Airman in Supply. Then, after college with ROTC in 1981, he was commissioned as a field artillery officer in the Florida National Guard. Just a year later, he switched to active duty and branch quartermaster. After a variety of positions, he retired from active service in 2000 as a major. Following his retirement, he continued his public service in logistics as a government contractor and finally found his way into government services with a doctorate in concepts writing, where he is now the director. Mr. Keith Beverly serves as a doctorate in concepts developer for the same force modernization proponent doctorate under ADASIP. He is also a highly experienced multifunctional logistician with over 40 years of combined military and government service experience. He spent 23 years in the Army, commissioned in the Transportation Corps, where he served in both CONUS and OCONUS tours. He retired in 2007 as a lieutenant colonel and continued his public service as a government service professional in doctrine and contracting concepts development. Keith has been a lead author of over 10 publications. He's revised and renewed numerous Army joint, multi-service, allied, and DoD insurance publications. Both of these gentlemen's extensive experience and knowledge make them a trusted voice and operational contracting and general sustainment combat capabilities, development, and integration. I'm so happy to have you both gentlemen on the show today. Welcome.
Thanks a lot. Glad to be here.
Thank you, Captain Powell. Glad to be here.
So I just went over a great introduction here with so much of your guys' experience, a wealth of knowledge. It's just amazing to see both your careers, where you've come so far, and be able to continue to pour that into the service. Just want to thank you both, first of all, for your long service careers, both the military and now through working on these contracting side of the house.
Cool.
So as we get into this, I know I talked about a little bit in the introduction, But can you tell us more about what is ATP 4-71?
ATP 471, or Army Techniques Publication 471, is basically the Bible for operational contracting. The centerpiece of it is the Contracting Support Brigade, which is the name of the publication. It details contracting support to theater armies, field army, and Corps headquarters to which the CSBs are aligned. It also talks about the subordinate contracting battalions and their alignments to the division headquarters, TSC and ESC, now CSC headquarters. And it talks about this newly formed organization within the CBN, the Contracting Detachment, which has a capability to push out forward contracting elements in support of individual brigade combat teams, depending upon mission variables in the operational area. It doesn't necessarily address policy, but it tells the field commanders what they can expect from a contracting support brigade. Also tells them, tells the contracting support brigade personnel who they need to reach out to during their aligned support. One of the biggest issues that we have seen in the past is that communication flow between the brigade and its supported customers. Oftentimes that's lacking. However, in looking at recent operations, particularly in, let's say, Europe, for example, dealing with Ukraine and whatnot, we know that that contracting support brigade that was supporting operations over there in that particular theater was sort of joined at the hip with the theater planning teams. So they knew exactly what it was they needed to do, because they developed what they call the commercial support to operations plan for that complete mission, and then they oversaw the execution of it. So 471 talks about how that is employed and who it's employed with, and what expected outcomes are based on METTC variables.
So as you said, I mean, this is like your full guidebook to pretty much provide those who are in contracting and give them a good understanding on how they can employ these assets.
Right.
Especially, I know, because I alluded to it in the intro, like this is still going to be relevant for large-scale combat operations.
Yes, it is. You know, and it's, and what's interesting too is you made a good point to reference what we say in 471 about how it will exist during LISCO. And matter of fact, contracting support may actually increase. And most folks will say, well, yeah, at the theater strategic level, sure. But what about as we go forward past the core rear boundary? At one time when they were developing ATP or the FM40 sustainment, they were saying that contracting support would not be forward of the core rear boundary. In my review, I beg to differ with them, because I told them, I says, we have the capability to execute contracts all the way down to the BCT level. And I explained that to them. So they changed their understanding of how it's employed in LISCO to say that during conflict or crisis and conflict, theater support contracting might be limited or denied based upon METTC. However, commanders must be aware that the capability still resides in the forward area. My thing is always, if there is a, let's say we got a branch or a sequel to an operation that comes up all of a sudden, we have limited sustainment support, what's a commander supposed to do? Let's look to the third rail, as my old boss used to say, operational contracting. Let's get a contract support for it. And with that, you have either a forward contracting element now, or the actual battalion providing that support, or even organizing it through the brigade itself to set up that contract support, even in that forward area. So 4.0 has captured it properly now. So for LISCO, the capability exists. Will it be actually executed? METTCI determines that. But the capability to give commanders options will still reside there.
Well, I guess my next thing would be, so why was there a need to update this piece of doctrine so quickly if the last one just came out in June of 21 prior to this?
No, June of 24.
No, the one before
that. To 21, yeah.
Yeah.
You're correct, yeah. Because according to TR, Trade Act Regulation 2536, proponents are to review their publications every 18 months. And that review entails not wordsmithing, but basically looking at it and comparing it to potential changes to national defense strategy, potential changes to Army operational concepts. Good example, changing from the war on terror or COIN operations to multi-domain operations. Big change. FM30, which came out, just 2 years ago, was a big contributing factor to our update to 471 because of that. The national defense strategy, it changed. That changed, and now we're actually starting to look at it again based on the new executive orders, Army's push towards transformation in conflict.
Transformation in contact.
Yes, I'm sorry. As well as the Army transformation initiatives. Right now, we don't see any impact to 471, but at the next 18-month update period, we'll look at all of that again, and should there be a requirement to make any change. And plus, we've allowed folks in the field, as they read it, if they think something needs to change, they could submit that to us, and we'll look at it. And the next potential change could be the change one or a full revision based on, and I use this term a lot, METTCI variables. That's why it was updated, because there was a significant change in the Army operating concept.
In addition, in the preface of the book, there's a link there if someone wants to submit a comment, something that they have learned, observed, or insight or lessons learned. But I think one of the major tenets of doctrine development is that, you know, we look for things that are enduring,
right,
things that are scalable, things that we all can use. All right. In addition to that, we have a new tool that just came out. It's called the Army Doctrine Development Tool. It's an automated process where we send publications out. We look at, respondents can respond to that site. We get the comments. We adjudicate those. But what's unique about it, anyone in the armed services can look at that manual and provide their comments. All right. And then we can adjudicate those comments. And if it's enduring, we'll go ahead and accept that and put that in a new update. So I just wanted to add that.
No, that's awesome. It's always beneficial to have an opportunity for people to apply to input, especially those who are out in the field where the rubber meets the road and are seeing things like, this is something we should probably add to it. So have that avenue and that they can reach out directly to your team to be able to provide that. That's awesome. So we kind of went over and talked about what this piece of doctrine is, but I know some of the audience might not even heard of a contracting support brigade. So could you walk us through what is a contracting support brigade?
Well, that's easy. Contracting support brigade is the theater commander's, senior contracting official.
Great, SCO.
Okay, so it's the senior contracting organization within a theater operations or core area of operations or field army Air of Operations. It is designed to provide theater support contracting support to those organizations in a direct support mode, general support mode. It also provides what they call CAS, Contract Administrative Services Support for log cap or external contracts. And it also works in concert with the AMC's Army Field Support Brigade for system support contracts. It's designed to, as I said before, provide this direct support to the theater, to the field army, to the Corps. It can command control up to 5 contracting battalions who have 2 organic contracting detachments. This can be expanded out to 4 or command and control. And these contracting detachments are what we call, they have the feelers that can go out to brigade combat teams through the employment of forward contracting elements. To go into detail as to the various staff structures or not, it's pretty much similar to a regular brigade. We have operations, we have FUOPs, we have COOPs, but we have this organization called the Contract Theater Support Contracting Section, okay, that provides really backup support in the event that we have forward elements that become rendered combat ineffective. One of the biggest things in the FDU is to give the brigade the capability to reconstitute a contracting detachment. So we built that now into the new brigade. It also allows them to provide responsive support in their area of operations until a contracting battalion may be employed into that area. So that's basically what a contracting brigade is. It is the centerpiece for contracting to the theater, field army, and corps commander.
Is it a mix between like those in uniform and civilians, or is it?
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have mentioned that. It's all green suit, 51 Charlies. Now, that's the TONE is built. MTO is all green suit. In competition, where we're sitting now, they have augmentation civilian TDAs that they use to execute a lot of their missions now. But should the proverbial balloon go up, that civilian TDA structure sort of migrates back, let's say, to the CONUS base or to the theater strategic area where it may remain. And anything forward in the theater and field army and corps areas would be all green suit executed.
Are these contracting support brigades, are they regionally aligned?
Geographically aligned.
Does that mean, I'm guessing there's not that many of them then, or?
We have 8 contracting support brigades and 12 contracting battalions. And like I said, they're geographically aligned to the various ASCCs. And some will say, well, what about our north and our south? Well, our north has always complained about not having an aligned CSB. But now with the Army Transformation Initiative, we have to see how that it's going to work out. But Army Contracting Command has provided responsive support. But in general, we're talking about geographic alignment of the 8 CSBs to the various ASCCs and the battalions to the corps, divisions, and TSC ESCs that exist.
Okay. And do these all exist on the active duty side, or are they in the...
This is all... We have mostly Compo 1 and Compo 2 National Guard. We have 35 teams that are being restructured down to 19 contracting detachments. In the Compo 3 reserves, they're now restructuring, I think, I'm not sure if it's this year or next year, they'll be restructured into 2 battalions with 4 CONDETs, contracting detachments, in Compo 3. And all of these will be to bolster Compo 1 should in the event of operations required.
Okay. That's just interesting to hear more about, because before this conversation today, like, I've never had an opportunity to interact with such a unit. And there's probably a lot in the force, but like, what, I've never even heard of a contracting support brigade. So it's a good opportunity for you guys to kind of provide an understanding. So when someone who hasn't goes out and interacts with them, they have a better understanding now what a contract support brigade is like. So I guess that kind of leads us to our next point, is like, how would somebody normally interact with a combat support brigade?
Contracting support brigade.
Yeah, how would somebody, go about interacting with them? Like, what would a normal unit, hey, we need this support, like, what would that process look like?
Well, actually, that brigade, whoever develops what they call a requirement package for the theater, army, headquarters, usually probably the S4 or G4 case may be, they would submit that to the supporting contracting support brigade. And right now, it's all automated. They would submit it through VCE, going in, and contracting units would take it and process it through the solicitations and, you know, all of those things that go along with providing contract support. What's key, however, is a part of that interaction is not just passing a requirement over, but it's also communicating with that contracting support brigade for assistance in developing their Annex W, to operations, contract and support to operations. Their SPO sections or G4 operations section, G3 operations section should be talking contracting brigade support operations office to develop that Annex W to the operational plan. And so we built into the brigade the capability to provide that not full-time, but definite liaison support to that theater headquarters so that they can do that necessary interaction for the development of the contract support plans.
I guess my next kind of thing is, how does this go into, or how does this relate to operational contract support, like the 3 Charlie stuff? Are these one and the same, or like to interact? Like could you kind of write that out better?
The 3 Charlie, who is basically, when it was initially designed, they were just simply a requirements developer. They developed a requirements package so that when it went to the contracting office, it was less likely to be kicked back because it was missing a PRC, it was missing a statement of work, it was missing whatever the case may be. 3 Charlie is the local commander's belly button for requesting contract support. That has since expanded. They've become more of a planner as well at that staff level. But it's different from the 51 Charlies that work at the contract and the contracting units. The 51 Charlies actually obligate the government. 3 Charlies just simply is an additional duty and developed a requirements package to request support.
I would add that in operational contract support, there are 3, we call them buckets, but there are essentially 3 functions. Mm-hmm. You know, on the first bucket, you got the contracting, integration, and planning. The second function or second bullet is contracting support, where we reside at. And then the last bucket is contractor management. So with that, the second bucket, pretty much responsible for obligating the government, and having that oversight. And, of course, integrating all those 3 elements together.
Because the outer buckets, the contract support planning and integration, the contractor management, those are what we call the non-acquisition functions of OCS. And that's where your 3 Charlie comes in to help support. Of course, contract support planning and integration, the big advisor for that is that contracting support brigade or contracting battalion, or further down at the BCT level, contracting detachment commander works with that. Contractor management, however, is fully a requirement activities right. responsibility, and they could look to the contracting brigade or battalion for any policies that could give them guidance on how to handle contractors and provide cores for or contracting officer representatives. But so, as Keith mentioned, the 3 buckets, that is the whole gamut of operational contract support. 471 focuses on that center contracting support to operations.
So really, at the end of the day, it's just another combat multiplier to the unit.
Yes, it offers the commander commercial support options.
Nice. So how do you see contract supporting brigades operating in large-scale combat operations?
As I had alluded to earlier, I don't see any change to the rules of allocation. In a large theater of operations where you have the theater strategic level, you have the deployment of multiple corps and divisions, you would have contracting support brigades aligned to each of those echelons, along with battalions to the subordinate echelons as required, even during LISCO. The execution of theater support contracting, as I believe stated now in FM40 sustainment, could be compromised or maybe even denied due to the kinetic nature of the operational environment, but the capability will remain. For command to give commanders options should their sustainment capabilities fall short. So even doing LISCO, we're there.
So one of the last points is, like, a lot of people think when they hear contract, they think maybe just the basic necessities, like I alluded to at the beginning, laundry or food services and such? Is there other capabilities when it comes to contracting that you think will become more relevant in the future?
One of the big things now that they are working through OSD is the private security contractors. They're looking at developing a large contract to provide private security personnel in support of various missions around the world. I can't get into detail, but that's one private security contract. And the other is what we've seen in the past. You probably always need interpreters. You definitely will also need transportation support. And of course, you said the various services, but they're also looking at the possibility of contracting out such things such as mortuary affairs, some of the medical requirements that are going on. So contracting will be expanded because when you look at it based on what's available in the theater of operation, it's unlimited as to what we could possibly, as long as it's not inherently governmental, we can contract for.
Awesome. So,
yeah, also I'd have to add that there's a new initiative going on now is, as we talked about it earlier, is the transformation in content. So with that, the new technologies that's out there, commercial support also can play a key role in how we get at that, how we acquire, how we procure those resources for the commander. So those kind of things are right there at the tip of the spearhead, if you would, as we progress to and how we do multi-domain operations.
Awesome. So is there anything that we haven't talked about when it comes to this ATP or contracting support at all that you would like to highlight to the audience?
Except for one thing that commanders need to start thinking about, this new initiative talking about right to repair. You've heard of that, to where basically, especially given the new technology and the initiative to rapidly field equipment out there so soldiers can play with it, break it, fix it, whatever the case may be. They're trying to get away from a lot of contract maintenance support and give soldiers right to repair. In other words, allow the government to acquire the intellectual property to a lot of this equipment that's going out there. Well, commanders need to be thinking about how that's going to operate, because every time a new piece of equipment is fielded, it's going to come possibly with at least limited contract support to begin with, which is later, according to how it was initially designed, contract logistics support was supposed to be temporary, train the green suitor, hand off to the green suitor, civilians redeploy. And that's where we end up with right to repair for the folks in the field. So they need to be working with those contractors as they come out to give them that new piece of equipment and get making sure that their soldiers get properly trained to do that repair before the civilians are pulled back. That's just from my point of view.
Right now we have a philosophy that states that our logistics is going to be compromised. It's going to be contested. So with contested logistics and along with predictive logistics, right now the military, especially DOD, are embedding technologies in these commercial support solutions. So commanders need to be aware of that, if that exists, and to allow the planners to know that and get after that as we do multi-domain operations.
So, awesome. So I would say, any advice for the sustainment community? And you both have a long, very wealth of knowledge over your tenures. So any good advice for the sustainment community as a whole?
Yeah, I'll go first. In general, you know, having worn a uniform, having been a support ops officer, having been a brigade S3, I ask that you get to know your contracting support organization. Get to know them real well, because they are the ones that honestly, when our tankers break down or when this happens and we can't do this or we can't do that, they're the ones that will come up with a solution to at least bridge the gap for you. So get to know them, talk to them, involve them in your planning, and you'll see that your mission success if it's good now, will at least remain stable, but it should be enhanced significantly.
Yeah, I'd like to add that, sustainment, again, it's a combat multiplier. It's an enabler for the commander. And now as we evolved and going into the competition and the crisis, the conflict, we had to allow our soldiers, our airmen and Marines, to leverage their technology, because they're coming up in a world where, you know, it's right there. All the technology is right at their fingertips. All right. So we got to allow them to use their mind, use their intelligence to get the mission done, and allow them to pursue those technology and leverage those to be more combat and a lethal force.
Well, awesome. This has been a very informative conversation today, learning a lot from both you gentlemen. I just want to really thank you for that. And I know we said it at the beginning a little bit, but where, if people want to be able to find you, if they have any additional follow-up questions, where's the best way to do that?
Well, we're up on the third floor here at the CASCOM building. Not that they might know that, but it's my office is room 3072 up on the third floor. You can find us on MS Teams, Jethro R. Mann Jr., Keith Beverly on Teams. And of course, as Keith mentioned, if you're reading ATP 471 and you got questions or comments, it tells you right in the front how to get that to us as well. But we're available for questions or just general chit-chat. Mm-hmm. Come on up.
Yeah. In addition, CASCOM has a sustainment portal. And it has all your sustainment publications there. Also there, also you can send and contact us at that. Right. Use that tool as well. So we're leveraging our technology as well. So please reach out to us. We need that feedback so we can make what you do a lot better.
Awesome. Well, thank you both so much for taking the time to come in today, provide just a great detailed overview of the ATP 4-71 and all this information on contracting support brigades to our listeners. Hopefully now leaders will have a better understanding of these capabilities and how to employ them in future operations. I know your office always is working hard on new and updated doctrine, and I'll be interested to see what you cook up next.
Thanks a lot for having us here, and I'll be glad to come back anytime.
Thank you.
So thank you both so much again. That is all we have today, folks. If there are other regulations or publications or doctrine that you would like to see us analyze on the show, then please send me a note. We're always looking for more topics that mean the most to you. As always, sustainable leaders start here. See you next time. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Logstat. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Please share this episode across your formation and leave us a review. If you have a topic you like here discussed, then please reach out to us at armysustainment@army.mil or directly to me on Global at garrett.h.pyle. Follow us on Facebook, X, and LinkedIn at Army Sustainment. We'll see you next time. Sustainment leaders start here.